Tonight, I feel honored to even be up here speaking to you. It's a great privilege to me. And I wanted to, as I was praying all week and asking the Lord, where do you want me to go with this? I ended up in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and you probably all know a bit of that. But I wanted to read some, I wanted to get up to the part that I want to talk about. And so I wanted to read it to you. And I had to copy Pastor Bill, and I made my notes kind of big so I could see them. In chapter 6, at the end of it, the last three verses there, Solomon is praying, and he says, "Now, my God, I pray, let your eyes be open and let your ears be attentive to the prayer made in this place. Now, therefore, arise, O Lord God, to your resting place. You are the ark of your strength. Let your priest, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let your saints rejoice in goodness. O Lord God, do not turn away the face of your anointed. Remember the mercies of your servant David." And then chapter 7, verse 1 says, "When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priest could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, 'For he is good, for his mercy endures forever.' Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 bulls and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. And the priests attended to their services, and the Levites also, with instruments of music of the Lord, which King David had made to praise the Lord, saying, 'For his mercy endures forever.' Whenever David offered praise by their ministry, the priests sounded trumpets opposite them, while all Israel stood. Furthermore, Solomon consecrated the middle of the court that was in front of the house of the Lord. For there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because the bronze altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings and the grain offerings and the fat. At that time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great assembly from the entrance of Hamath to the brook of Egypt. And on the 8th day, they held a sacred assembly, for they observed the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. On the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away to their tents, joyful and glad of heart for the good that the Lord had done for David, for Solomon, and for his people Israel." So that brings us to verse 11. And I just wanted to tell you, this is where Solomon finished the temple of the Lord, as well as the royal palace. He completed everything he had planned to do in the construction of the temple and the palace. Then on the night the Lord appeared to Solomon and said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this temple as a place for making sacrifices. At times I might shut up the heavens so that no rain falls, or command grasshoppers to devour your crops, or send plagues among you. Then, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear them from heaven and forgive their sins and restore their land. You know, we have a lot going on in our world today in the way of plagues and different things. And God said there in 13, he says, you know, at times I might shut up the heavens so that no rain falls, or command grasshoppers to devour your crops, or send plagues among you. But then he puts it on us and he says, then, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear them from heaven and forgive their sins and restore their land. If we will humble ourselves to our God, if we will ask him, Lord, what do you want to do with us? What do you want? And it says, if we will pray and seek his face. If we'll seek his face and we turn from our our wicked ways, he said, I will hear them from heaven and forgive their sins and restore their land. God wants to hear from us. You and me. He wants to hear from us. Every day, all the time. You know the scripture, pray without ceasing. We are to just look to the heavens and say, God, what do you have for me? I want to humble myself before you, Lord. I want to be your servant. I want to be everything that you want me to be. I don't want to get in the way, God. Keep me from getting in the way. Please, Lord, speak to me. And he said, if you do that, I'll hear you. And I'll forgive you. And I'll restore all that's around you. He'll restore our land. I'll tell you, our land needs restoring. Big time. And we are hurting people. And I'm not just talking about America, I'm talking about the world. So many people have kicked our Lord out of their lives. They don't want any part of it. There's people wanting to take God out of the Pledge of Allegiance. You go to Washington, D.C., and if you've ever been there, you look at all the carvings on the buildings and everything. And you can tell that whoever did that is to honor God. We say, you know, the Ten Commandments aren't available anymore in any school. How sad that is. And that's just direction in our life. If we'd read the Ten Commandments every day, we'd probably want to be there. We want to be there with God. He has done so much in my life. I don't know about you, but I haven't always been the great person I am today. I was a rat. I was a sinner. I am a sinner, but I mean, I didn't want God to be any part of my life. Of course, there was a time when I first asked Jesus into my heart when I was 17. But, and I was so on fire for him. And then I got back into the world and I didn't think about God at all for years. I do remember when I first went to Calvary Chapel in 1970, the old chapel, and I gave my heart back to Jesus, and I really felt that the Lord says, "Where have you been, Jim?" And he was so patient to wait for me. But from that point on, I've been learning and learning and learning. But my life has been, you know, I think we all go through it. Oh, man, we're going good, and then boom, you know. And then we go back up again, and boom. I'll tell you, without the mountaintops, there's no valleys. And without the valleys, there's no mountaintops. The church I used to pastor in California was, we lived in the highest community in Southern California, which was 7,200 feet. Our church was the only church in town. Only one. Of course, we only had 300 people there. But I loved every one of those people. I don't care what their background was or who they were, and most of them didn't come to the church, but they would call me their pastor when they'd introduce me to other people. This is our pastor. It was almost like I was their mayor or something, you know, but I loved those people. And I wanted God to take their lives and restore any kind of belief they may have had sometime in their life. But what we know we need to do is we need to turn from our wicked ways. And God says, I'll hear you, and I'll hear you from heaven, and I'll forgive your sins and restore your land. What is my land? It's all this that's around me. That's my land. My land is my life. Verse 15 goes on to say, my eyes will be open, this is God speaking, and my ears attentive to every prayer made in this place. For I have chosen this temple, and I set it apart to be a place where my name will be honored forever. I will always watch over it, for it is dear to my heart. He goes on to say, as for you, if you faithfully follow me, as David your father did, obeying all my commands, decrees, and regulations, then I will establish the throne of your dynasty. For I made this covenant with your father David when I said, one of your descendants will always rule over Israel. Solomon had some great responsibilities. Solomon's father, he had pulled some really goofy stunts. I mean, he had the captain of his army killed because David had fallen with his wife. And the things that David had done, but he made a turnaround and went to his father and he became the king. Here's this, when you read the story of David, he's just a dirty little shepherd boy out in the field that they just kind of forgot about. But he got chosen, and he was used. He was young, but that didn't matter. Nobody else would fight the giant Goliath. But David says, I can. I got some rocks here. I'll take care of him. Can you imagine the people just laughing at his life? What are you going to do? David said, watch. Boing. And he got him. But David was focused on what God wanted him to do. And God goes on here to tell Solomon, he goes, but if your descendants abandon me and disobey the decrees and commands I've given you, and if you serve and worship other gods, then I will uproot the people from this land that I have given them. I will reject the temple that I have made holy to honor my name. I will make it an object of mockery and ridicule among the nations. We have such a responsibility for our churches that we don't want anybody to be able to mock our church. And if they see holy people here, what do they got to mock? We sang about that tonight. Being holy. We want to be holy. And not because we're better than anybody else. Not by any means at all. But because we want to honor God with our lives. Verse 21, the Lord's still speaking and he says, and through this temple, and though this temple is impressive now, all who pass by will be appalled. They will ask, why did the Lord do such terrible things to this land and to this temple? And he said, and the answer will be, because his people abandoned the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who brought them out of Egypt, and they worshiped other gods instead and bowed down to them. This is why he brought all of these disasters on them. Because his people abandoned him, the God of their ancestors. I don't want to be that guy that abandons my Lord. I want to be that guy that raises my hands and just every day in the morning or whatever, whenever, that I can just say, God, use me today, please. Make me an example of your love. I want my light to shine. Lord, I want to seek your face so much. We need to seek his face. Think about it. When you go to the airport, say, and we all get visitors from the mainland over here, and we're excited to see most of them anyhow, but we're at the curb, we're waiting, and we're looking to see their face, to see if that's who we want, you know? Is that the person I'm waiting for? We want to see their face. That's what we need to do about God. We need to see his face. I remember one time in an airport, I was looking for Nancy. And they called our flight, and I'm thinking, oh, where is she? She tends to wonder. If there's any time between flights, between planes, she'll go, I'll be back. But will you be back on time? Am I going to have an empty seat next to me? And I'm looking and I'm looking and I'm looking. I want to see her face. I remember I was up in a balcony and I'm looking at everything. And finally I found her. I said, Nancy, they called our flight. Oh, okay, I'll be there. That's one thing about a plane that only leaves once. I remember another time with Nancy. We were in Albany, New York. We were on the train. And we needed to be back on the train. And I'm looking all over for her. I was seeking her face. I needed to find her. And I couldn't find her. Where is she? And I knew the train was going to leave. And you had to go down this escalator down to the platform where the train was. And I'm thinking, do I go down there? Is she down there? No, I don't think so. She was up here. And I was looking all over for her. Well, you might think Nancy's a nice lady, but she's downright ornery, just so you know that. She was up there. And in the middle of this area where the train station was an elevator. So you could go down the escalator, down the elevator. Well, the elevator's in the middle, and you can walk all around it. Well, every time I got on one side, she went to the other side. She was hiding from me. And she was talking to our daughter, and she goes, Mom, you're going to give him a heart attack. You know, and I was real close to it. And when I finally found her, I said, Nancy, get over here. Oh. But that's the way she is. So if you think she's a real nice lady, Auntie Nancy, she's got her sneaky things that she does. The question for us tonight is, do we seek his face on a daily basis? Do you? Do you want to see God? Maybe there's some times you're doing something, you go, it's not me, don't look down here, God, you know. You're kind of hiding from him. I've been there too. I don't want him to see me. But we should be seeking our Lord in the same way. All the time, seek his face. You know, we as God's people have a responsibility. We can't just curse and complain about the sin in our society. What we need to do is say, Lord, forgive us. Lord, forgive us, please. Jesus said, remember, that we are the salt and the light of this world. The other day I saw an interview with Governor Noem from South Dakota. I don't know if you've ever seen her. But it seems like a woman that has her head really connected straight. But she was being interviewed, and she was asked how she got into politics. And she said that her father, who was a rancher, told her that she can't just complain about the government, that she needed to get involved and speak up. So what'd she do? She started going to meetings and speaking out. And she ended up becoming the governor of that state. Now she makes things happen. And her state is one of the best Jesus said in Matthew 5:13, Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it useful again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hill, glowing in the night for all to see. Don't hide your light under a basket. Instead, put it on a stand and let it shine for all. And in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." As a cook, if I go to salt something, if it had no flavor, I might as well put sand in there or something, you know. But you salt it to bring out this flavor. You add spices to make things alive. And that's what Jesus said that we need to do. We need to be the salt of the earth. And we need to be lights to this world. We need to be that city sitting upon a hill that all can see, all could notice it. What is that? That's a person that loves Jesus. That's what that is. And we need to be the light of the world, glowing in the night, it says, for all to see. Not because you're so good, but because you radiate God's love, because you radiate his truth, because you radiate all he has for us. That's what we need to be. People, we just need to be the children of God that he wants us to be. We need to reach out to each other. We need to love each other. I enjoy working in the cafe. I enjoy being there. I enjoy the kids that go to this school. I pick on every one of them. They come in and they come up to the cash register and I say, "Yeah, what do you want?" "I want lunch. Give me your money and I'll give you lunch." "Okay, Pastor Jim," you know, and they laugh and they have a good time. Mary Ann, our secretary here, she gave me a sign that I can put up by the cash register that says, "Go away." I don't put it out very often, but, you know. She gave it to me, but I'm not sure if she was telling me to go away, but I took it and I used it for my own glory. But I love serving here. Nancy and I both. Because we love you people. We love the people that come through those doors. We try to make it a good place to be. You know, I'm one of the pastors here, but I don't hold a candle to any one of these other guys that are here either. I look up to every one of those pastors on our staff. I feel honored that Bill even asked me to come on over from California. But in closing now, you know, if our country is going down the tubes, you and I need to take a personal responsibility, because we are responsible to heal it and light the way. You and I, we are responsible to do that. We can't just sit back and complain about it. You know, if we don't step up and get involved and let people know we serve a living God and we're a light in this dark world. You know, our country's going down due to a whole lot of difficulty, but we as believers need to say, Lord, forgive us. We've been failing. We've been just complaining. Maybe it's because we've been playing and not praying. You know, anyone can curse our society and our government and all that. But we need to be that light that gives hope to our world. And I think we need to change that around to, we need to be praying and not playing so much. We need to take it serious and ask God to use you and to light you and keep that candle burning in your heart and be a light for Jesus Christ. That's what he wants with us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you want to use each one of us. I thank you that you want to use me and every person sitting in a seat out there tonight, Father. I pray that you would speak to all of us. There's something for each one of us to do. Not all of us are doctors, and not all of us are really smart people. Some of us may work at the gas station. Some of us may work in a hospital. I don't know. But the thing is, wherever we are, wherever we're planted, I just pray that we grow. Oh, thank you, Father, for what you have for each and every one of us. We love you, Father. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.